and welcome to Blank Canvas, the home of visual art and culture in the Bahamas. I am Diana Sands, Communications and Development Manager at the NAGB.
And I'm Douglas Barkey, the Executive Director.
And we're in studio with Avria Wright, curator extraordinaire, and the renowned artist Kendra Furup, who is hosting, actually, who has created an excellent body of work for the NAGB, and it's called The Whimsical Collector. So welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And it turns out it's one of the first, I think it is the first full female retrospective that the NAGB has done ever in its history, so that's really, I think, a historical moment. But I want to take a moment and introduce Kendra to our audience as far as an artist goes. She holds a BFA in sculpture from the University of Tampa and an MFA in sculpture from Syracuse University. She's currently an associate professor in sculpture at the University of Tampa. Professor Furup is an internationally published and exhibiting artist, having been featured in National Exhibition No. 4, No. 9, as well as exhibitions in the United States, France, Puerto Rico, Martinique, Haiti, and Andorra. So she has quite an international review. Kendra was born in Nassau, the Bahamas, where she grew up in the Yellow Elder community with her mother and siblings. During her formative years, she worked outside the city with her family on her mother's farm on the south side of New Providence. Kendra's fascination with materiality and her meticulous construction techniques are informed by the time she spent working alongside her contractor father. Her latest exhibit, The Whimsical Collector, which opens at the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas on Thursday, March 24th, is waiting for you to come visit. Avria Wright is the curator of the exhibit, and she's been working very closely with Kendra and the NAGB curatorial team in bringing that exhibit together, and it's looking fantastic, I have to say, having seen it only partially put up at this point. Now, I'm really curious about the title. I think I know what collector implies when it comes to the process and materials of making your art, but Kendra, can you share with us what you're being referred to when you're referred to as the collector? What does that mean to you as an artist?
It's so funny when you use the word collector, I laugh because I think of the word hoarder. So it's a glorified name for a hoarder. No, I do collect. The things that I collect at the present time are things that are have a familiarity to me. I'm very attracted to aged things with a bit of history, and I want to bring it to life again. And so when you give me the title as a collector, I'm a glorified hoarder.
That's great. One thing about putting together an exhibit is that artists get to see their work all in one place at the same time, which is rare, especially in sculpture, because you're always working, making the pieces, then they have to go into storage, into a gallery, and so on. As you have been observing the exhibit come together, what insights have you had about the evolution of your work over time?
Wow. So as I see the work as a whole, and some of them are in private collections, and so I'm seeing them after 20 years, after
like
making
old friends.
Yeah, being old friends again, right? And so after seeing them as a collection, there's reflection on moments when I made them. You know, art is always about something. It's about current, the time, our times, right? And so when I look at them, I can talk a little bit about, I could think a little bit about what I was doing at that time. One piece in particular is Tickle Pink. I have this 19, going on 20-year-old right now, and that was done when she was 3 or 4, and that was this moment, and just hearing the laugh again or revisiting the piece again, it brought me back to that moment. But looking at the show as a whole and looking at the work as a whole, I think it will shift what I do next. Right? Because each piece is a mutation of the piece before. And so I'm wondering how this will shift my whole body of work moving forward. Yeah. But it is exciting to see it as a collection.
That's interesting, the biographical comment. It actually connects back directly to the moment of inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of, in a way, the whole show is a biography, in a way, like a thread of your artistic development.
It is, and there is a common thread in it. As I look at the work, there's a lot of hanging things, and I look at it and reflect, did I really do that? Is that what I do, you know? There's a lot of round things, there's a lot of hanging things. And so it's, I'm conscious of it, but now it wants me, I want to investigate it in depth a little more.
Mm-hmm. So it makes you reflect on your work.
Yeah.
I'm curious, Avria, now you're the curator of the show, so you're also seeing this large retrospective too, and you also, as you're putting this together, you're researching all the different aspects of it. What do you think of that, seeing the whole thing together all in one time?
Okay, so I've known Kendra for 12 years, I think. No, a little more than that. So 14 years now. And so knowing her from the perspective of a student-teacher relationship and actually seeing kind of the collecting happening and being there when she's, like, making the work and to now being the creator of this exhibition, to see the body of work together is kind of like, we were installing a piece the other day and she asked me to position it. And then she did it afterwards. And I was like, you are super strong. It's so interesting to see the mass of work and the volume, but to know the strength that she has both literally and figuratively through the work has been kind of very revealing through this process.
It's interesting, but the physical aspect of sculpture, that is one of its unique aspects compared to painting, drawing, photography, all the mm-hmm. things which are very light and fairly easy to store.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I know one of the processes that it was involved was actually going and moving things from the farm over to the gallery, things, and it was a lot of work. I mean, mm-hmm. things were shipped on a container. I mean, these are big items coming into the National Art Gallery, and that's what's so great about the show, too. It's the opportunity to see all these works that were not easy to bring in. These are things that are, these are large sculptural pieces assembled cool. from many parts. And for our audience, who of course can't see anything, I'm just curious, maybe Avery, if you could describe one of your favorite pieces in the show or one piece that inspired you perhaps several years ago, just to give the audience kind of an idea of what they look like.
It's interesting you say that because Kendra says that Pecking Order is my piece. And it is because I actually was the one in charge of bringing that in when we had, I think, NE6. Mm-hmm. NE6,
I
think.
I believe so.
Yeah, NE6 or NE7. NE7. And that was, I think that was the Antillean?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think for me, Kendra's always, like we say, the whimsical collector. But that one had a lot more thought into it. Like, it was something that I think that she thought about a little bit more than the other ones. It was not so, more so kind of like responding to this call. And I thought that struck with me a lot. And like dealing with the shipping and stuff and so forth as a curatorial assistant then working at the NAGB, that one stuck with me the most. And being able to tell that story and tie in her cognitive reasoning of why she's doing what she's doing in that piece stuck with me the most. But that actually enlightened me to the other works as well, because she likes to say that she's just like making a mutation of these things and kind of like building on these things that she's collecting, but she has a lot of intelligent thoughts that are tied to the selection she's making, to the objects that she's choosing, and a lot of it is tied to like her memories of being here in the Bahamas, of like direct kind of conversations with people or the way she thinks about current events. So yeah, so that was the one piece.
Now that is certainly true, because you have very beautiful, consistent themes such as scarlet plums and, you know, the bag and how that reappears through different objects.
Yeah.
Having a walkthrough yesterday, it was quite surprising as you move through that the story, just like, you know, you said, the thread that of consistency. So I know when we had a walkthrough on Monday, I noted that she had to be an engineer first before an artist. So when you are designing or conceptualizing, do you consider, is there anything in particular that you consider when you conceptualize, oh, I'm going to bring this to life? Because we have some really unique, like that piece with the hand and the, I mean, how, what is your process?
So I try not to let the engineering stop me. And if you know me, my colleagues and my friends or you know, people that help me realize these works, they sometimes get frustrated because I don't let the engineering part of it stop me. It's possible.
It's crazy ideas. Yeah, crazy ideas.
I want to make this happen. Like it's, yep. I feel like it's always possible. I'm constantly thinking and making works as I'm driving along and engineering. So I come from that background. My dad was a contractor. And I'm starting to realize I'm a lot like him. My brother was an interior designer, very much like him. And so that to me is a challenge. And I embrace it in the visual, you know, not only visually, but I embrace that challenge of the engineering.
So in a way, you're having a concept, and then you're figuring out the problem. How yes. to then make that concept yeah. happen yeah. through the engineering piece of it.
Yeah, yeah. And it's always possible.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Everything's possible.
You know, going back to the title, and that thread that connects everything, the Winslow Collector. So what is the driving force? How did you come to that with that title? How did that help with the selection of the pieces that you that are in the show?
So I'm going to be honest, Avery. Came up. I've called Avery.
We'll give her credit. Sure.
Yeah, I've called Avery all my life. Anyway, Avery actually came up with the title. I sometimes think of myself as being too serious, but looking at the work, I chuckle. You know, there is that bit of whimsy, mm-hmm. and so I'm gonna.
I can
that
go
over. Yeah,
no problem. So. Like we say, like her collecting process in and of itself is kind of like it's hoarding, and we all kind of contribute to it. And then you think of like an object, and you say that Kendra could use this, or she would like this thing, or whatever. And the relationship she has with people, the relationship to the objects themselves, is all based on humor, because her community is kind of part of her collection as well. So she has her memories as a part of her collection. The people who she works with and she kind of considers as family is a part of her collection. And all of it is built on this humorous part of her. And, like, you get, like, even, like, the chicken and the chicken feet. It's kind of, like, really funny when you think of kind of, like, them dancing or with the piece that's part of the National Collection, Domestic Chickens. So when you think of, like, even picking plums and the plums and having them in your hand, you know, you think like that automatically brings you back to your childhood memories, and you're like, you're climbing the tree trying to catch them and get them, and then you get a bag, you put them in and so forth. So all of that kind of like just looking at those little nuances very closely and the details of those memories and stuff have this humor to it that is innately from Kendra's her mm-hmm. own person. She has like a very bubbly, effervescent personality that comes out through the work. Mm-hmm. So yeah.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's so funny about people finding things and sort of handing it. One of the preparators at the museum, I'm not sure what Richardo's real title is, but he came by yesterday and he handed me this little disc. And he says, this came here. And I chuckled because I don't know him that well. And he immediately picked up that was something that I did, and he brought me this piece. And so I get that often. Yeah, at the University of Tampa, mm-hmm. I'm really close friends with the facilities guys, and as they tear mm-hmm. down things, Melody in the Men's Room is one of the pieces that is from that. Yeah. So every now and then I'll meet things by my door. I met
a
bucket.
Reputation.
Yeah, I get this reputation. The other day I met two buckets of beeswax near my door. I don't know who left it there. But I have this reputation of collecting.
So that's where the whimsy comes in.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great. Mm-hmm. Good. I want to talk a little about one of the distinctive aspects of your work, which is the fact that it's somewhere between sculpture and painting. And as we try to describe the show, you have things that protrude out. There's hands and arms coming out. There's things that are actually in front of the glass of the frame, things coming hanging off the frame. So in other words, you're combining like the two-dimensional surface of the canvas with the three-dimensional objects that hang off the surface. So you break that 2D space, and you break out of the rectangular frame of the canvas. My first question around this is to ask you is, how did you discover that approach? You know, what led you to combine the physical objects with the illusion offered by the image on the canvas? Because that's the other thing, too. There's often images inside
yes.
the frame, and then the actual thing comes out of
mm-hmm.
it. So say a drawing, I'm just making this up, but say a drawing of sea grapes, but then out of it comes actually some sea grapes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, art can be magic, right?
Mm-hmm.
The piece that started that was The Friar's Journey. It's in the show. Mm-hmm. And I created that and wanted this, it's a funny thing about the rooster going to the market to be fried chicken. Anyway, and so it has this collar of beads. But I wanted the beads to be inside and outside of the glass, and I thought, how can I create this magic? So this is a very small, I'm telling you this, just shouldn't, but there's a small pinhole that has beads on both sides. And so once I did that and I thought, wow, that really is magic, it started the whole concept of mm-hmm. hanging things off of. I'm a sculptor. I'm a frustrated painter. I can't paint for, you know. But the work, most of the work is print, are prints. And so layers and layers of prints, and that's because I can erase immediately. But anyway, The Friar's Journey is a piece that started that. And so the whole idea is to create this magical. Mm-hmm. I want the viewer to walk away from the piece thinking about it. How'd that happen?
Well, we need to explore that a little more. But for now, we're going to take a quick break. And please tune in to the NAGB's Blank Canvas show, the show where we speak about visual culture and community. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.